What's up, Eagle Country? Thank you for tuning in to another edition of Crunch Time. I'm your host, Double T Travis there. 30 minutes of nonstop sports conversation heading your way as we are getting ever so close to the high school football season starting. Tonight's Crunch Time, as always, presented by OrthoCincy Orthopedics and Sports Medicine, the orthopedic authority for sports, work, and everyday injuries here in Lawrenceburg and throughout the tri-state. You can learn more at OrthoCincy.com. That is OrthoCincy.com. So without further ado, let's jump into this evening's show. And we are going to be talking a lot of high school football. We got some other things to get to as well, but some fairly big news, I would say, out of Oldenburg, as the Twisters football season going to start a week later than expected. The school's athletic department announcing today that their opening contest, which was slated for Saturday, August 21st, against Rock Creek Academy, has been canceled due to positive COVID-19 cases within the Rock Creek football program. This is something that we all became accustomed to last season, with several of our area teams having some games canceled and had to go out and search for new opponents. A lot of our area teams were able to find new opponents and still play the same amount of games that they would have in a normal season, but a little discouraging to see this at the start of the 2021 season. I don't know that we thought that we would have any of this happening this year, but again, there has been some surges in COVID-19 numbers with the Delta variant around, so hopefully we won't see too much of this going forward into the 2021 season, but it is a cause for concern moving forward, I'm sure, for our area team, seeing one already having to cancel a game. Now, I certainly feel bad for the Oldenburg Academy players and staff for having that game canceled, but luckily for them, they did find a replacement game. It's just going to take place a week later, as they will travel and play Union City on Friday, August 27th. And this could turn out to be a little bit of a blessing in disguise for this Oldenburg Academy team if their schedule was not impacted due to COVID-19. They had the Friday, August 27th date open already, so they would have played on the 21st, and then their next game wouldn't have been until September 4th. So this allows them to push back their season a week, get a little extra practice time for those players, and then go in fresh against Union City, and then go right into that next game, the following Friday at Edinburgh. So consistency-wise, this might be good for Oldenburg Academy moving forward, with their season now slated to start on Friday, August 27th, again at Union City. And Oldenburg Academy, again, will be under the direction of first-year coach Brian Mitchell, who is a former standout wide receiver at Greensburg. We talked a little bit about his program and some of the other area programs on last week's show. We do have that podcast for you over at EagleCountryOnline.com. Speaking of which, later on in the show, we're going to talk about South Dearborn and Lawrenceburg football, the two area teams that we have not discussed thus far. We have been working to try to get those two programs into the studio so they can speak for themselves about their upcoming season. But hey, sometimes scheduling doesn't necessarily work out in your favor, so we will keep them in mind for some future episodes, and certainly we'll hope to hear from Coach Caniga and his Tigers and Coach Ballard and his Knights on a future episode of Crunch Time. Before we get to talking about the Knights and the Tigers, we want to recognize a pair of 17-year-old runners who have been crowned Southeastern Indiana Racing Circuit Champions. Excuse me. The fifth and final circ race was held over the weekend at the Bulldog Chase 5K in Batesville. And wow, the turnout there was absolutely amazing. 163 participants in this race. Now, it was a Lawrenceburg young man who was the champion of this race. Goes by the name of Garrett Artis, a 20-year-old. He had the fastest time at the Bulldog Chase 5K, 16 minutes and 7 seconds. But it was Batesville native Darren Smith who finished fourth and captured the men's overall championship. His total time over five races was 1 hour, 32 minutes, and 21 seconds, winning the men's version of the Cirque by about 4 minutes total. Rachel Campbell, who finished 25th overall at the Bulldog Chase 5K, is the female overall champion. Her total time was 1 hour, 45 minutes, and 12 seconds. She outlasted Hannah Morgan and Georgia Ferguson to win the female competition. And for Smith and Campbell, they actually both jumped into the overall lead after the Lakeside 5K in Brookville on July 24th. That was the third of five races. So after they got in for first place, never looked back, did these two 17-year-olds, and they are now Circ champions. So pretty cool stuff there. If you want to read more and find full results from the Bulldog Chase 5K and the entire Circ, you can find that at EagleCountryOnline.com. Next up on Crunch Time, a South Dearborn High School graduate making some headlines. Hunter Ross set to play soccer at Finlandia University in Hancock, Michigan, just recently signing his letter of intent. He was a four-year player in the soccer program at South Dearborn, made all-conference twice, and a three-year varsity letterman, and a scholar-athlete, student-athlete as well. So we wish Hunter nothing but the best as he continues his academic and athletic career at the next level. Another thing that we wanted to get to on the show this time around, a couple of events happening this weekend that are going to be for worthy causes. First of which is the annual fire truck pull to benefit Special Olympics Indiana, and the money from this event is going to stay here locally to help Special Olympians in Dearborn, Ohio, and Ripley counties, not only to train year-round, but to get out to local, regional, state, national, and international events. And there still is time to register a team for the fire truck pull here in downtown Lawrenceburg. If you register before tomorrow, you'll be able to receive an official fire truck pull t-shirt. That registration will include the minimum $500 team registration fee. And these are teams of 15 or less that are going to pull a fire truck. And there's going to be some great prizes along the way if you're able to do that quicker than the other teams. If you do not have a team, you can still register by tomorrow and receive the official t-shirt. That registration must include a minimum $50 registration fee, and those individuals will be assigned to a team. Who knows? You might even end up on the Eagle Country 99.3 team. Otherwise, if you don't register online, you can do a team registration on the day of the event this Saturday by 1:15, and it will happen here in downtown Lawrenceburg at Civic Park. More details over at EagleCountryOnline.com. That is also where you're going to find information about the first annual Brady James Memorial Softball Tournament, also taking place this Saturday at the Cap Fields in Lawrenceburg, pretty much in the Lawrenceburg Fairgrounds. I think that's the technical way to put it. But the registration fee for this tournament is $150 per team, 10 players per team. You'll get a t-shirt. They're going to have a boatload of other events going on surrounding these softball games, and all of the proceeds will benefit the Brady Gabbard Memorial Scholarship, set up obviously in the name of the late Brady Gabbard, who was lost far, far too soon earlier this summer due to cancer. But this scholarship going to be available for any senior athlete for the amount of $2,845. Got some more information about the softball tournament at EagleCountryOnline.com. You can also visit BradyStrong.com if you want to get a team in at the last second for this particular Memorial Softball Tournament. Speaking of Brady Gabbard, want to give a shout out to the East Central High School student body as they have some t-shirt sales going on today through Wednesday that is going to support Brady Gabbard. And these are going to be t-shirts that are going to be worn by some of the students at the Lawrenceburg East Central football game next Friday to open up the season. I do believe 75% of the proceeds are going to benefit the Gabbard family. So a really, really nice, genuine gesture from the East Central student body. Obviously, it's going to be a big game to open the season. All the folks from St. Leon, rightfully so, rooting for the Trojans to come away victorious. All the folks from Lawrenceburg, they're obviously rooting for the Tigers to be victorious in that game. But at the same time, these two communities are going to come together and remember Brady Gabbard. I'm sure there's going to be a really heartfelt, emotional moment before that game to honor Brady and to have not only the East Central students, but probably some others from Lawrenceburg wearing shirts like this to support Brady and his family is going to be a sight to see on Friday, August 20th. So again, the community support from the very get-go has been astronomical from everybody across the board, and this is just going to be one more instance to show that yet again when we get out to Lawrenceburg High School for that game. And Eagle Country 99.3 going to be very proud to be there to help tell that story for those that are going to be listening on the radio. We will also serve as the official game ball sponsor for that Tigers-Trojans game to open the season. So very much looking forward to next Friday evening. You are listening to Crunch Time, presented by OrthoCincy, Orthopedics and Sports Medicine, the orthopedic authority for work, sports, and everyday injuries here in Lawrenceburg and throughout the tri-state. You can learn more about their services and the fine physicians at OrthoCincy at orthocincy.com. Speaking of the Tigers, we're going to get to them in just a few moments, but first, let's talk about their rival from down the street, the South Dearborn Knights. They are also set to open up their season next Friday against Seymour, a team that they did beat last year. And for this South Dearborn team, it was a disappointing 2020, going 4-5 last season. They did lose in the first round of the sectional to a very good Greenwood team. But if you look at it from this perspective, the Knights were only 12 points away from a winning season last year. 6-point loss at Franklin County and a 6-point loss at home to Lawrenceburg to end the season. Those two games could have definitely gone the other way. I was there to call the Lawrenceburg game. South Dearborn controlled that game for a good portion of the game, probably 3/4 of that game, maybe even more than that. Lawrenceburg finding a way to get that game-winning drive at the end, led by Garrett Yoon. So again, these are two games that South Dearborn can look at last year and say, these games may have gotten away from us. And I'm sure those two experiences will be learning experiences for the players that are coming back this year that they can use and apply going forward. Now, the schedule for the Knights is going to be the same this year with the addition of Greensburg. They are going to have to replace several very talented players among the graduating seniors from a season ago. All-conference selections, Hunter and Dalton Hatfield, Bryce Valdez, Blake Bartley, and Bailey Whitelock. Other key losses include Andy Doherty and Austin Ashcraft. I want to start with Hunter Hatfield, though. He's going to be dearly missed, not only for his leadership, but at wide receiver and defensive back. He was recently one of the standouts at the annual IFCA North versus South game. He was fantastic in this game. Not one, two interceptions, 6 tackles, and a pass breakup in the end zone. He didn't end up winning the MVP of that game, but with a stat line like that, he certainly could have been in the running. Along with Bailey Whitelock and Drake Pete, South Dearborn had a really, really strong secondary, defensive secondary, a season ago. They will return 2-year starter Cooper Barker at safety, so he's going to be a key player in this Knights defense. If you've heard Ram Ballard talk about his teams in the past, they hang their hat on the defensive side of the ball. We saw them just a couple of years ago be one of the best scoring defenses in the entire state, and this is where this team wants to be on a year-to-year basis. Easier said than done sometimes, but still plenty of talent coming back for this South Dearborn defense. Now, I want to start with the defensive secondary because they do have to replace some really terrific athletes. And I mentioned Cooper Barker at safety, Drew Propes, Corbin McHenry, Mikey Phillips. They are going to be some of the senior leaders in the secondary. Corbin Cassidy, Ryan Willoughby, among others, should get their shot to play meaningful snaps. And I'm real interested to see how Ryan Willoughby plays on the football field, because looking at him as a defender on the basketball court, he is absolutely tenacious, always in your face. You would think that's going to translate very, very well to the football field. I could see him finding a very, very solid role for this South Dearborn team moving forward. Defensive line, that's going to be another interesting position group to watch this year when checking out the South Dearborn Knights. A couple guys that I mentioned just a moment ago, Dalton Hatfield, Bryce Valdez, along with Jacob Goines, those guys are gone. So Billy Schulte, he is the lone returning starter on that defensive line. Did have a very nice junior season with 40 tackles. Caleb Goldston, a guy that's seen some reps there at defensive tackle in terms of game action. He should jump into the starting role as a senior. Alex Kemper, really good size, expected to play on the offensive line, going to help on defense as well, we think. 6'3", 289 pounds, and then the Knights have six sophomores that have really, really good size. that could help on both the offense and defensive line. Time will tell if those guys play significant roles. It looks like Blake Pruss might be the leader in the clubhouse to play not only on the offensive line, but defensively as well. Now, that offensive line with Kemper there, Evan Meek is back. Those guys are going to be very solid up front, but the Knights will have to replace Alex Rollman, Jackson Goodall, who transferred to Lawrenceburg, and Chase Emmert. Eli Gabbard, Blake Pruss, who I just mentioned, those guys are expected to transition into starters. Still leaves one hole on the offensive line. Time will tell who is going to fill that spot. We have not found out that information as of right now, but that is going to be something we're all going to find out maybe together next Friday night when South Dearborn starts their season against Seymour. I do believe that linebacker could be a very big strength for this South Dearborn team this year with Sean Somer and Ashton Kittle returning. They combined for over 100 tackles last season. I would expect that to happen again this year. Braden Johnson, just a sophomore, he's looking like he's going to be in line to be the third starter at linebacker. The interesting part here is who will play middle linebacker taking over for Jarrett Montgomery. My money's probably on Somer, but again, this is something that we'll have to find out together next week when South Dearborn opens up their season. Now let's talk about the skill players, the Knights returning junior quarterback Logan Tease. When he won the starting job last year, the Knights coaching staff said that Tease could develop into a all-state caliber quarterback like Adam Dixon did a few years ago. And Tease threw for over 1,000 yards as a sophomore, averaging over 100 yards per game. And with that 6'5 frame, good throwing motion, he can definitely get the ball down the field. He can see down the field, and he's going to have some big targets that he can rely on this year. Reese Willoughby is back as one of their top playmakers, standing at 6'3, a very physical wide receiver who can run. Austin Ballard, 6'5. You got Austin Pittenger at 6', Isaiah Otto, a 6' slot receiver. And then when you throw Justin McGraw and Braden Foist in the fold at tight end, a lot of athleticism, a lot of size for Tease to throw the ball up and let these guys go make plays. So we'll see if this offense kind of unleashes Tease this year and maybe becomes more of a passing team. I know they're still going to want to have that run element in there. And with C.J. Rogers coming back, that's a good place to start. At running back, nearly 500 yards and 7 touchdowns a season ago, splitting reps with some other gentlemen, junior Caden Gump. Could be a change of pace there. And then C.J. Evans, who is just a sophomore, is expected to provide some depth at running back. Some other names to look out for this year with South Dearborn: Hudson Shackelford and Ollie Babcock at wide receiver, Adam Gaynor at receiver and DB, and then they will have a freshman kicker in Tatum Barker. Again, South Dearborn going to kick off their season against Seymour next Friday. They did win last year's opener against Seymour 36-21. We'll have more on that particular game next Monday when we take a look at some of the individual matchups that will kick off the 2021 high school football season. This is Crunch Time, presented by OrthoSensi Orthopedics and Sports Medicine. If you need to schedule an appointment or learn more about the services at OrthoSensi, make sure you're heading over to their website, orthosensi.com. That is orthosensi.com. We want to transition and talk about the Lawrenceburg Tigers to round out the show here this evening. And it was a great season last year for the Tigers, going 11-2 and winning the 20th sectional championship in program history. Over the past 10 years, under the leadership of Coach Caniga, the Tigers have had 8 winning seasons, including 5 sectional championships. It has been the regional round that has been a little troublesome for the Tigers over the past few seasons, as they would lose in the regional 49-28 to a very good Southridge team a year ago. But as they flip the script to 2021, the expectations mighty high over at Lawrenceburg High School as they return 17 starters. Now, that's not to say that they didn't lose some really great players to graduation, because they did. Ethan Paris, he's off to St. Francis. His offensive and defensive line mate, Braden York, will play at Marion. Linebacker Noah Rolette, he'll be joining Paris at St. Francis. Adam Bird, who is a 4-year player for the Tigers, he's off to Baldwin, and kicker Joey Hibbard will play at Thomas More. Also lost Dakota Roth, who was kind of a Swiss Army knife for Lawrenceburg, doing a little bit of everything. But the Tigers are going to have several others heading off to play college football when this season is all said and done. Among them is offensive tackle defensive end Ashton Craig, who committed to Notre Dame earlier this summer. Craig, now a four-star recruit by 24/7 Sports, choosing the Fighting Irish over Nebraska, Northwestern, and some other 20 D1 offers that he had. Ashton is a massive young man who is going to anchor this offensive line. It's also going to feature Micah Foster, who has done a really nice job over the last couple of years, Braden Watkins, Colton Roth, Lance Bates, Logan Lang, and the aforementioned Jackson Goodall, who's coming over from South Dearborn. All those guys could see time on the offensive line. Waylon Lambert, Elijah Freeman, those are guys that are going to provide depth in the trenches as well. And all these guys going to be blocking for four-year starting quarterback Gavin Yoon. He has had back-to-back 2,000-yard passing and 1,000-yard rushing seasons. He also accounted for 41 total touchdowns a season ago. And before this season is over, he will go over 10,000 career yards. Now, Gavin's going to have some playmakers to get the ball to. They will have to replace 1,000-yard rusher Adam Bird, who had closer to 2,000 yards as a junior, excuse me. But Luke Pierce, Tegan Bennett, those are experienced guys that are coming back to fill that running back role. Logan Howell, who's just a freshman, could be in the mix to see some carries as well. The receiving group, that's going to be strong for the Tigers, even if it's just the two primary guys that Yoon likes to get the ball to. His buddy Daya Patel, who was over 1,100 yards last year, 11 touchdowns. He is the big play threat. But don't sleep on Aiden Gilmore, who had nearly 600 yards receiving last year and 11 touchdowns. Works out of the slot quite a bit. Get him lined up on a linebacker, and things can get a little dicey there if you are trying to guard young Aiden Gilmore. Solomon Fisher, Hayden Saylor, those are guys that could be breakout players at wide receiver, offering up Gavin Yoon some other options. Jacob Pierce is going to be another guy that's going to get the ball offensively, whether he's running from a fullback position or maybe catching some passes lined up as a tight end. Defensively, the Tigers should be pretty stout again. They will have to replace some guys up front, missing Ethan Paris. And Braden York certainly lost some beef on that defensive line. We do expect Ashton Craig to be the leader on the defensive line with some new guys rotating their way in. Linebacker should be a strength for this team. Jacob Pierce is back as one of their leading tacklers. Alex Whitty had a phenomenal sophomore season. This is a kid you might see make a big-time jump this year and be one of the star players for the Tigers defensively. And a name that's going to be familiar, Kaniga. Yes, Noah Kaniga, the son of head coach Ryan, an incoming freshman for the Tigers, very gifted athlete. Looks like he's going to play some linebacker this year. And then in the secondary, I don't know that it gets any better than this. They might be the only team in the area returning all four starters in their secondary, with Brennan Bushman and Aiden Gilmore as the cornerbacks, Jace Bohan and Lucas Pierce as your two safeties, and all four of those young men can make plays on the ball. It's going to make it very difficult to pass the ball against this Tigers defense, especially if that defensive line can provide any type of pressure on opposing quarterbacks. You also see those linebackers blitzing at times as well, and if the opposing quarterback isn't willing to take a sack or throw the ball away, it might end up in the hands of one of those four individuals I just named, because they were great at taking the ball away last year. They're a year older. They understand what they need to do in this defense, and they are looking to take the ball away and get it back to their high-powered offense. And that's probably been one of my favorite things to watch over the past few years covering this Lawrenceburg Tigers team, is the balance that they do play with on offense. Certainly Garrett Yoon is going to have the authority to sling that ball all over the field and make some really big explosive plays with his arm and his legs, and trying to get the ball downfield to Patel and Gilmore and company. But they're also able to just line up and kind of jam that ball down your throat, control the clock a little bit, let their defense do what they do, because they're an underrated group, I think. So the Tigers have shown that they're able to win games in a variety of ways, and they will definitely need to do that to navigate their way through the state tournament. And with 17 starters back, a lot of them being star players that have been playing varsity football for several years, you can see why the expectations might be high at Lawrenceburg. And this team thinks that they could make a run for the Circle City on Thanksgiving weekend, the regional round. No disrespect to the folks that they're going to play in the sectional, because it's going to be brutal getting through the sectional. Franklin County has returned a lot of solid players. Brownstown Central is always very, very good. There's multiple other teams that can pose a problem in that sectional, but it has been the regional round that has been particularly tough for this Tigers team in recent memory. Since playing for the state championship in 2016, the Tigers have lost three straight regional championship games. The following season in 2017, lost to Evansville Memorial. That team was really, really good. Remember calling that game with Mr. Mike Perleberg down in Evansville at Bossy Field. Memorial was a really, really good. You could say the same for Heritage Hills, who shut out the Tigers in 2019 in the regional. And then last year's Southridge team was very, very impressive, winning 49-20. So that's going to be the big hump that the Tigers will have to potentially get over this year. They will start out the season as the number two ranked team in Class 3A, according to the Indiana Football Coaches Association. They did not receive any votes to be the top team in the state, but that could change once they get going here in this 2021 season. Expecting some big things out of Lawrenceburg. And not only that, I believe all four teams that we are going to follow very closely this year have an opportunity to do some special things. That's going to go for East Central, South Dearborn, and Milan as well. Any way you slice it, we get very excited about the high school football season each and every year. Same for the high school basketball season. I personally love being out at the games, calling these games. I remember what it was like to be a high school athlete, and sometimes there was no better feeling than just being out there under the lights, hearing the roar of the crowd, hearing the adulation from the student section, cheering you on to do your best and hopefully come home with a win. And, you know, the winning, we get caught up in that a lot. That certainly is very meaningful, but there's a lot more meaningful stuff that's going to go on behind the scenes with these high school football seasons, the relationships that these kids are going to build with their fellow student athletes, with their coaches, their fellow students, maybe even players from another team. Essentially going to be out there making memories that are going to last a lifetime. That is what it is all about when it really comes down to it. So as much as we want to see all these teams go on and win the state championship or whatever goals they may have in mind this season, we also want to just see these teams have a good, healthy season where they grow as individuals, grow as teams, create some memories, and hopefully the wins will come along with that as well. But any way you slice it, we can't wait to get this high school football season underway. Going to be out at the pit next Friday, August 20th. I'll be alongside my good friend Chuck Thomas to bring you the Tigers and Trojans to kick off the 2021 season. And we do have our full broadcast schedule available for you right now at EagleCountryOnline.com. So with that, that's going to do it for this evening's show. Another edition of Crunch Time here on this Monday, August 9th. It is presented by OrthoSensi Orthopedics and Sports Medicine, the orthopedic authority here in Lawrenceburg and throughout the tri-state. We appreciate you listening. We will do it again next Monday, 6 to 6:30, previewing the week one matchups in high school football. Don't miss it. It's Crunch Time on Eagle Country 99.3.